flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
So Patrick Mahomes goes on the radio station in Kansas City, does a weekly with them, 96.5 The Fan, and was asked about the controversial officiating. So this is what he said about it as they get ready for the AFC Championship game. And then I'm going to let you hear him talk about the fact that, you know, there's too much trying to get the call on the sidelines that's helping the situation kind of create its own monster. Patrick Mahomes on 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City.
I've kind of learned that no matter what happens during the game, that something's going to come out or about if you win and you continue to win. So I don't really pay attention to it. I mean, obviously, I've been on both sides of it as far as how I felt the calls were made. But at the end of the day, man, those guys are doing their best to make the best calls and keep it to where the players are making the plays in the game, and that's what decides the outcome. And there was a call here or there that people didn't agree with, but at the same time, I think there was a lot of other plays that really decided the outcome of that football game.
Yeah, I think the Texans made too many mistakes,
but
I also think he did a hell of a job acting, Mike.
No, but it was still, like, and I know that guys are still in their bag who had the Texans to cover. I mean, or had the Chiefs, I should say,
sure,
to cover, and they run out of the back of the end zone to be a little safe at the end of the game, and Andy retakes the safety. But it just, you've had at least off the top, or right off the top of your head, you can think of, like, okay, start with the first week, us. You know, start with that game where we had the no pass interference call. You know, like, I know it was not a great throw from Cousins to Pitts, but that certainly was a play we could have had week two, actually. I should say Pittsburgh was week one. Week three, it was three. Pittsburgh, Eagles, Kansas City. We had that one. You had the Kansas City Chargers game. You had the Bengals game. There's a bunch of games where the pass interference, no calls, hits. We've seen it in the past. It's become a thing so much now. It's everyone just, they roll their eyes now. I go, Kansas City and the league taking care of them. The NFL doesn't want those optics. So let's make sure you do have the best crew. And they don't give Patrick any preferential treatment that Brady got, because fans don't want to see that. They don't want to hear about the Jordan rules in the NFL.
No, you don't. You want to make sure everything is on an up and up, right, and a fair playing field. Mahomes said he did too much trying to get the call on the sideline. This is him talking about it again on 96.5 The Fan. This was a call everybody was like, really? You're going to call that? Here's Mahomes talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the only one I felt like I probably did too much was the one on the sideline where I didn't get a flag and the ref saw it and didn't throw a flag, and I understood it immediately and know that I probably shouldn't have done that. But at the same time, the one that everybody's talking about where I fell down, it's like I was just trying to get out of the way of getting smoked by the defensive lineman running. So I'll try to keep doing that and not take those hits, because that's the smart way to stay in the football game.
Well, I mean, if somebody from Kansas City knocks Josh Allen's block off by doing that fake slide that he did a couple of years ago, okay.
Yeah.
I want to see – then if I'm the – you know what? If here's where it gets ugly, and this goes back about 30 years. We don't see this NFL anymore.
Take him out.
Someone's going to knock Patrick Mahomes' block off.
Take him out.
You start pulling that jive at the sideline, put you on your keister.
Yeah.
Can't do it, because the way the NFL looks, man, hell, you might get the death penalty, man. I'd be going to Sing Sing for that. But it's just, that's why I think, and Patrick knows, that's why he said, well, yeah, you know, that one where the, yeah, because it looked like a move. It was very uncool.
It was. Meanwhile, Ben Johnson's the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. This is a part of his press conference yesterday when he was talking about the plan to win is win now.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable. The bar has been set higher than it's ever been set before. The only way for this team and for you as individual players to reach your potential is to be pushed and to be challenged. And that's exactly what I and my staff plan on doing. Our mission starting this spring is to win and to win now.
So, Mike, what about Caleb Williams? He says, I thought this was interesting. Are you saying you don't like what they have on offense? He says they're going to strip this offense down and build around Caleb. I think he's got some great skill, guys. They got to get an offensive line.
Yes, that's the thing. He was running for his life. And I thought I'm punching up the Bills depth chart, right? The Bears depth chart. They've got to protect the quarterback. The defense, they've got elements. They've got pieces that they've added. I mean, it hasn't all been bad from Ryan Poles. Yep. He has drafted some good pieces. Look, he was famous for famously taking Chase Claypool and a couple of moves that didn't make any sense. I mean, you did the Steelers a favor by giving him a second rounder, which is basically on the cusp of the first round. But, yeah, the offensive line has really got to get straightened out. Cole Kmet, Roma Dunze. I know that D.J. Moore still has certainly stuff left in the tank.
Well, they just gave him a new deal.
Keenan Allen was very inconsistent because he's at this stage of his career where he's not the same guy. But, I mean, they've got pieces, the point you just made. They've got a decent defense that gets after it. So they just happen to be in the toughest division in football. So, okay, you want to compete now, but, I mean, the real interesting question for me is how does Dan Campbell restock? Is the next man up? Is he going to work with Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn? Or is he going to, you know, is he going to stay in Detroit? This is where teams get sideways when you lose that brain drain from the coaching staff sometimes.
No doubt. Here is Ben Johnson on Caleb Williams and his talent.
There's no doubt Caleb played a large component into my decision. He is a phenomenal talent that had, as many quarterbacks do, an up and down rookie year. Where I see my role is as a supporter of him. This offense will be calibrated with him in mind. We're going to build this thing. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope. We're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next. I really look forward to challenging him and pushing him to continue to grow and develop.
Yeah, man, the idea that Brian Flores, who did a great job, certainly we thought, again, reinvigorating the perception, whatever you thought happened down there in Miami, and he's certainly going to get a shot at some point. But, yeah, I think the Tua thing scared the Bears about him coming in there and being like, Tua, and Tua didn't help him. He was a bully. He was really mean. Well, you got to love up Caleb Williams. I think he's that kind of guy. I think he's a pat on the back, not a kick in the butt guy.
I do, too. Let's hear from Tom Brady, Mike. He says he wants to stay in the booth. It's our 4th and 1 segment, guys, brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Brady, how long do you want to be in the booth?
I got 9 years left on my deal, and maybe longer. You never know. If Fox wants me, then I want to go. We'll just keep going because it's been really fun thus far.
Yeah, not exactly fun for the viewer. as we said, I think his information is solid, and sometimes, yes, tell me what it's like to be Tom Brady. I'm cool with that. If this quarterback can't do it, but you're seeing something he doesn't, I still want to hear your analysis. But not having that, and some guy I was arguing on Twitter goes, what's the big deal about these weekly meetings? Well, you get to see what the other team's doing. You get to know what's going on behind the scenes. When they drop a play in there, you saw it at practice.
That's right.
Offensive coaching staff talks. That's what they do in those meetings that Tom Brady can't have. He cannot actually step foot on another team's playing facility because he's a minority owner of the Raiders.
All right, one last thing, Mike. Nick Saban, you know him and Deion do those commercials together.
Yes.
We are still
Affleck.
Wondering. Yes, we are still wondering what the Cowboys are going to do. They've not hired anybody yet. Schottenheimer's a candidate. We know Kellen Moore.
Right. Schottenheimer's so Cowboysy. So Cowboysy.
That doesn't get anybody enthusiastic. It just doesn't.
No.
But Nick Saban, he was on the Pivot podcast. That's Ryan Clark's podcast. And he said he'd love to see Deion get that job.
Coach, you're still one of the best in the world at this. You can't just hang it up, man. You're done?
There's a job open in Dallas.
There's on all levels. There's college jobs, there's NFL jobs. Hell, I'll get you a job down here.
I want him to get that job.
I'll get you a job down here, coach, of high school if you want to, coach.
Yeah, man, he's done. Saban is completely shut down. Him and Miss Terry on the lake, on the beach, that house that he rents out there on those commercials for VRBO.
It's great.
Make me laugh every time.
long showers.
No, that's a rule. But no, Deion, it sounds like that's a lot of fodder for Jerry to make some headlines before he eventually does decide to do something really predictable, like go with the guy who can't fix Dak Prescott in the big games,
that's right.
The guy that was on the outline as the offensive coordinator when you get humiliated by the Packers and you fire McCarthy, you don't renew McCarthy, and you bring him back. Now, look, I get the argument against, you know, guys saying Ulbrich is a piece that makes sense because it fits what Ra's doing, and you don't bring someone in to shock the system if you're the Falcons. If your job is on the line in just second season, you got to go with somebody who knows what you're doing. I get that. But if you're the Cowboys, if ever there's a team that needs a shock to the system offensively,
they do.
It's Dallas.
They do.
McCarthy, they hit the wall there, and you're going to bring Brian Schottenheimer is the most uncompelling hire, but that's slightly less compelling than Kellen Moore.
It is. And look, the Kellen Moore thing, at least he had success there as an OC. The Schottenheimer thing, I'm sorry. And listen, wasn't he at Georgia for a while?
He was the 1 year, the last year of Mark Richt.
That's right.
And it was not memorable.
No, it wasn't.